podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. Today, we are kicking off a brand new series and taking a break from the usual book of Genesis, and we are looking at a topic called timeout, a place where you can take a timeout from the schedules, the business, the work that you do. The terminology timeout, if you were to look at sports, is typically something that coaches do when they want to realign the team. When the team has, in many ways, not performing at the level that they should, or if a team is off in a different direction, or in some cases, the goals have been misaligned. Coaches call for timeout to reset, so to speak, the team to make sure that they're where they're in the right place and going the right track. You and I go through a race in life. In many ways, we've heard the term rat race, or we're trying to make things happen on our own pace. And there's something that is necessary in order for us to get out of that place of running that race. And that's the thing that we call worship. Over the course of the next few weeks, we as a leadership team decided that this is a topic that requires some form of discussion. The word worship actually comes from two words, the words worth and the words ship. Worship, therefore, means worth, which means value of importance and quality. When something is valuable, when something is important, when something is of high significance, then we say that thing is of great worth. When we say ship, that means something of a state or an office, your lordship, your worthship, or whatever ship that you use to indicate the value is something that is regarded for that particular thing. I was in the SMU, Singapore Management University, last Thursday, meeting with a gentleman, and in the course of, I've never been there before, and I've had the grand tour, because the gentleman who I met there works there. And I've never realized that a big part of this university is actually underground. And so as we walked around, he said, this is the law department, the IT department. And finally, we got to the economics department. And when I was looking at that section of the school, I was reminded of what economics is. Economics is really not the study of money. Economics, in many ways, is the study of the behavior of people. When you watch people behave a certain way, that's what economists do. They study the behavior of people, particularly the behavior of humans in regard to what is valuable. So in many ways, worship affects the way we do life. In fact, Jesus, long before the economists of the day, thought that economics had to be studied, indicated in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, or the things that you value, there your heart will be also. In many ways, the truth of the matter is the way we value things causes things to become automatic in our behavior. Let me explain. We were made to worship. The reason why we value the things we value, the reason why we look for excellence, the reason why we see things that are cute or beautiful and we respond to those is because we find meaning and value. And the reason why we find meaning and value is because we were designed on the inside to seek for worship, to want to worship something. In the end, we will worship something or someone. History tells us of a man named Ralph Waldo Emerson, a minister back in the 1800s, and it was fascinating what he said. He said, a person will worship something, have no doubt about that. At some point, regardless of who you are or who we are, we will worship something. We may think our tribute is paid in secret in the dark recesses of our hearts, but it will come out. Somehow, regardless of whether we want to believe that we're not worshiping something, the fact of the matter is we are. We're just not clear that we're doing that. We're putting high worth and value and importance to something that really probably is not that important. Then he goes on to say, that which dominates our imaginations and our thoughts will determine our lives and our character. The thing that consumes us, the thing that we dream about, the thing that we pray about, the things that we worship, we put a high value on. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For although they knew God," Edison was one of those who was a minister, "he knew God, they did not honor him." That's that idea of giving it its due worth or give thanks to him, which is what you're doing when you're worshiping something or someone, is you're not just acknowledging their honor, but their due worth, but you're giving thanks to him. "But they soon became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Sad story about Ralph Waldo Emerson. Emerson met his wife, Ellen Lewis Tucker, in Concord, New Hampshire, on Christmas Day, 1827, and married her when she was 18. The couple moved to Boston, where Emerson's mother, Ruth, moving with them to help take care of Ellen, was already ill with tuberculosis. Less than 2 years later, on February the 8th, 1831, Ellen died at the age of 20. After uttering the last words, "I've not forgotten the peace and joy." Further, he says, Emerson was heavily affected by her death, and he visited their grave in Roxbury daily. In a journal dated March 29, 1832, he wrote, "I visited Ellen's tomb and opened the coffin." What was interesting was what happened after this. Somewhere along the way, we will worship something or someone. Emerson, after his wife's death, began to disagree with the church's methods. Writing in his journal in 1832, "I've sometimes thought that in order to be a good minister, it was necessary to leave the ministry. The profession is antiquated. In an altered age, we worship the dead forms of our forefathers." His disagreements with church officials over the administration of communion service and misgivings about public prayer eventually led to his resignation in 1832. This is a minister who declared that at some point we will worship someone. Further, he said, as he wrote, "The mode of commemorating Christ is not suitable to me. The reason is enough. That is reason enough why I should abandon it." Emerson went on to leave the faith. You, as I, will worship something or someone. We will, at some point, become foolish in our thinking if we don't understand what is truly important and valuable. Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 says, "Claiming to be wise," this is that man, "they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." Claiming to be wise, and this is the generation you and I live in. We now live in one of the most prosperous, most well-informed moments in the history of mankind. And we can claim to be wise, resulting in becoming fools because we exchange the glory of the immortal God, the one who deserves the highest form of worship, for images, for forms, resembling mortal men and even birds and creeping things. Throughout history, throughout the beginning of time, people have looked for something to worship in the form of animals and humans, and in the form of their own lives. And today, that doesn't change. We worship everything from Hermes bags. Amen. If you have one, amen. That's not a bad thing. But we worship things. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with these things. If you have one, good for you. The problem is they won't give you life. What we worship necessarily is not a bad thing. If some of you, the worship is good grades. Amen. Careers. Or security, what really is most valuable in our hearts? And then at some point, it's not even about bags and cars and jackets and grades and careers. It's about security, isn't it? We will worship something or someone. We make the mistake, as Romans says, of worshiping the created thing. And it always fails us, doesn't it? Time out is realizing moments of worship. Worship, by the way, is not just coming to church on a Sunday and lifting up your hands and singing songs. Worship is actually a daily thing. But you, as I, will worship something or someone. As a young businessman, I worshiped career. I wanted to become successful. I wanted to be rich. It wasn't a bad thing. I wasn't wanting to just be selfish. I just wanted what those people wanted. I wanted security because I thought that was the answer. As I grew older and I became a Christian, I stopped worshiping businesses and success and money, but I started worshiping something else, and it's still a form of worship, and that happened to be my family. Because we will worship something. And maybe you're not worshiping cars and jackets and grades and careers and money and security, but you're still at some point, and I did at one point, worship this family. Everything I did, I probably at one point in my life, most number of books I had were about the family because I wanted to make sure this family worked. And then I realized even that was worship. Because even that will fail you. When my son almost died, it was one of those moments where you realize you cannot worship what is created. While we've seen the story of Emerson, there's another story in history of a man named Horatio Spafford. Spafford was a very prominent lawyer, very wealthy, very successful. Had his wife and children that he shipped out to on vacation to Europe. On their way to France, the ship that they were riding in had a collision at midpoint in the Atlantic Ocean. Four daughters perished at that voyage, and the wife somehow survived. She was rescued. Spafford, on his way to England from Chicago, from New York, he had to stay behind for some work. At midpoint, was told by the people that somewhere in the vicinity of the Atlantic Ocean was where the ship sank. Quietly deferred and went into his cabin, and he began to write a song, which to this day, hundreds of years later, is being sang. When peace is like a river, and it attends my way when things go well with me. But when sorrows like the sea billows and roll, you know, you're going to have good times and bad times. You're going to have, I woke up last night, I was very feverish. I had joint pains. You're going to have days that are not going to be good. Amen? That's the time to worship. That's the time to go to God and say, Lord, you're still worthy. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well. And you got the story of Emerson who got bitter after the loss of his wife. The story of Spafford who gave credit to God because he is worthy. Regardless of how I feel, and regardless of how things may be at the present time. That's what you do when you time out. That's what you do when you worship. That's what you do in the course of the day when things are not working your way, or for that matter, when things are working your way. The lines of Stafford's song says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, that his blessed assurance control, Christ has regarded my helpless estate. And I shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Worship is attributing to God and saying, I was made to worship something, but I choose to worship you. I choose to give you the highest regard and value. Time out in your days. By the way, this is one of the best things you can do during lunchtime. Is pause and worship and remember what God's done for you. The whole idea of coming to church on a Sunday, by the way, is bare minimum. We think that coming to church is the object. No. The coming to Sunday means if you can't even do 1 hour on a Sunday, how will you worship God every day? It's kind of like the tithe, isn't it? Some people complain about the tithe. It's 10%. No. The tithe is bare minimum. God doesn't want your tithe. He wants you. He wants everything. And if you can't even do that, then how are you going to give him everything? Are you here? Well, it's quiet here today. But that's what worship is, isn't it? You are worth everything to me. It doesn't matter how I feel because you are worth it. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. When you seek him first, that's what that word seek first. First is the word proton, the highest, the most foremost, the greatest thing in all my life. I'm seeking you. I'm worshiping you. Promise is, instead of seeking all these things, if you seek God first, he says, all these things shall be added to you as well. At the right time, at the right moment, the right place, in the right way. God's desire is to bless us. Point number one, we were made to worship. And at some point, because we were made to be like that, we will seek for that which is valuable. And we will pour our hearts and souls into something. Because it's just the way we were made. We were made that way. Point number two is we become what we worship. That's why it's so important. Because when we worship something, we become like it. Psalm 115 verses 4 and 5 says, their idols are like silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak. Eyes, but do not see. These are idols that they're foolish, that don't see because we've idolized them. They have ears, but do not hear. Noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel. Feet, but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Then it says this, those who make them will become like them. What you worship, when you worship dead things, when you worship created things, you're worshiping the limited. It says that those who make them will be like them, and so does everyone else who trusts in them. Why do you want to worship God? Because you want to be like Him. Life, purity, humility, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness. You've all seen these pictures of these dog owners who look like their dogs. Amen. You've seen these things, right? You've all seen this, right? I mean, you've seen these guys that the owner, if you go on web, you'll see a string of these people who they actually look like their dogs. You know how that works, right? You get married to someone, you spend enough time with that person, you start looking like her or him. That's the same way with the dog. If that's true about a dog that you pet, how truer is it about the thing that you pour your soul into? When you pour your heart in worship to something or someone other than God, you will become like that person. There's a lady on the web right now who worships bags. She's got 200 Hermes bags. When you look at her face, she already looks like a bag. Amen? And there's a lady who worships Barbie. And she's the living Barbie. I mean, it's like you become what you worship. And there's a unique thing that God has made about you. We're not all going to look alike, all the same, but there is something of beauty that God put in you, and that is His image. Now, you're probably saying, I don't have a dog, Pastor, and I don't really worship money or bags or cars. I can't even afford them. But you might be worshiping this race. You know, the rat race? This might become the most important thing in your life, that you wake up every morning worrying about it and when I'm going to give a job and not, you know, whenever you feel like worrying about something, that's probably an idol. A relationship, finances, careers. My admonishment to you, worship the Lord. Because if you worship that, one day you're going to look like this. Amen? When you grow old, you're going to look like a rat. You don't want to look like that. You want to worship the Lord. You want to worship Him. Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 3:17 says, now the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's why you worship. When you worship God, there's something that happens to you. I picked up my wife last night from the airport. And I couldn't tell her that I was feverish and I had joint pains and everything else. But as soon as I got home, I said, let's just worship the Lord. Because He's worthy. We began to pray in tongues and lay hands on each other because she herself wasn't feeling well. But you know what? When you worship God, He sets you free. And regardless of what your worries are or your issues are, something happens to you. And by the way, worship, just don't worship Him here. Worship Him every day of your life. Verse 18 says, And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image, same image, from one degree of glory to the other. It's just fascinating. Why do you want to worship God? Because if we do, our faces become unveiled. We begin to behold the glory and the worth and the majesty and the heaviness and the beauty of God. That's why religion is so dangerous, because we give it its bare minimum rather than enjoying all of it in its full maximum. And become transformed into the same image. This freedom, this love, this whole idea of freedom is actually about love. We enjoy the benefits of certain things for free because someone is paying for it, not because it's actually free. And that's what God did for you and me. He gave us Jesus, set us free, so our souls could be free. Interesting thing is, it says from one degree of glory to another. In other words, every degree and every shade of shred of life that you have is going to be transformed as you time out and worship Him. You're worthy. You're worthy. When you're walking, when you're on the MRT, when you're all by yourself, when you're worried, when you're thinking about relatives, when you miss your wife or your husband, or you have a wife in an accident, go and worship. It's the best thing you can do. Somehow, the problems melt away because you have a little bit of a sneak peek of what heaven looks like when you worship. My last point this morning is pleasure and fulfillment come from worship. That's why we want to buy things. That's why we want to buy clothes. Because if we find, we buy that new app, that new phone. Okay, it's the iPhone 201st. It makes us feel valuable. It makes us feel pleasurable. It makes us feel fulfilled. The problem is, if you drop that iPhone, the problem is that relationship that you thought will give you pleasure and that will give you fulfillment suddenly leaves you. The problem is the thing that you were worshiping got sick and died, and you forgot that this is about eternity. And it's longer than just this. Revelation chapter 4 verse 10 in the King James Version says, "For and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. Cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, O God. Unless we understand worship, this boils down to just a religious practice, isn't it? Worship says, no, nothing is worthier than you to receive glory and weight and honor and power, for you created all things. And here's the best part. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. You want to have pleasure and fulfillment in life, or you're going to have contentment, not because you have lack. Contentment means, genuine contentment means, you're so full of something, I don't need any more. At least not for today. And you know what that is? That's His presence. The only thing that can fill you to the brim. That will answer every worry, every doubt, every issue. In 1646... after the Bible was finally printed, prior to this, the Bible was not a printed manuscript. It was just stories that were handed down generationally. They were sheets of scrolls. And finally, in the 1500s, they invented the print press. And in the 1600s, because everybody could read the Bible, there was this gathering of these theologians. It's called the Westminster Catechism. And they said, we've got to define what this entire book is all about. If we could summarize so that others who may not have the book itself can learn what this is all about. The conclusion of these fathers of the faith boiled down to these words: the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Life will not be enjoyable no matter how many cars and bags and grades and careers you have, no matter how much money you have, because the chief end, notice it doesn't say chief ends, it says chief end, because when you glorify God and worship Him, you will enjoy life forever. It's that simple. Which is why you want a timeout. My friend, Manny Carlos, bishop of, one of the bishops of every nation in the Philippines, can never forget what he said one day. He said, we experience the greatest pleasure and fulfillment when we do what we were created to do. We were created for God's pleasure. Can you imagine? You can't please people. How many of you know that's a problem? It's been said, if you try to please everybody, you're going to go crazy. But can you imagine you can actually please God? Greatest person in the universe. You can bring Him pleasure, and the way you do that is you worship Him. When you say, God, You're worthy, I worship You. I put my entire being, future, and hope, and trust, and worth in You because You're worthy. Let me summarize this short message. We were made to worship. Regardless of who you are, you will worship something or someone. You worship created things, you're going to have a foolish mind and a dark heart. It will fail you. We become what we worship. We start behaving in a certain way when we put value into things that we shouldn't be putting value in. Genuine pleasure and fulfillment comes from worship. When you learn to worship God, not just on a Sunday, but every day of your life, because He's worthy. Hence, time out. Every now and then, like a coach, you need to tell yourself, Joey, time out. Okay? You, no matter how hard you try, your bones are aching. Stop. Rest. Worship the Lord. Word. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.